back, ladies and gentlemen, to 2025. It's episode number 457. John and I were talking real world stuff, which of course he will edit out of this video. And you...
Well, we weren't recording, Rob. You weren't...
You will all be so grateful that we did, because we're having a great fest about fires and running small businesses and all sorts of different stuff. But we're excited to be back, or at least I am excited to be back. I will not speak for John. I'm excited to be back to talking to everybody about all sorts of cool things in the year, sharing our vision, wisdom, and experience about marketing and digital marketing specifically, and then even more specifically, digital marketing ideas that we have for realtors. We're kicking year off right with some real world steps to grow your real estate business in 2025. We're going to try to make these specific and actionable to all of our beautiful listeners. But before we dive into that, for those of you that are not familiar with the fact that I have a pugnacious English co-host who is a rock star in the podcasting world, who took a very long break, took a 30-day break about thereabouts, and is now back by the skin of his shinny shin shin. So if you would like to do us all a favor, John, give yourself a little bit of an intro, I'd love that.
Yes, thanks, Rob. The sentence was for 30 days in the county jail. I just got out about 5 days ago. No, that's not true. I needed a break, folks. I was planning some travel, which I didn't do, but I stayed at home and I had a break from podcasting and I feel a little bit refreshed. And I'm the founder of MailRight. We're a CRM and we get leads through Facebook advertising, and we can provide a great website as well. Back over to you, Robert.
All right. So that everybody knows, and John knows, I feel like between the doldrums of a slow real estate business, and by the way, it was slow right up to the December, John, and now I'm getting tons and tons of reports from clients. So for me as a real estate marketer, it's still slow, but I am seeing lots of reports from clients coming in that they're selling homes. There was a big, long pause, and now my client base is starting to communicate. Transactions are happening again, and I couldn't be happier. However, there's still a lot of conversations surrounding what marketing looks like currently. I'm getting more comments on old videos and stuff like that. Like, this is still true, things like that. So we're going to share some ideas that we think are valid, still valid in the world that we live in, the proliferation of conversations around AI, the proliferation of conversations about older real estate marketing systems that are aging out in some ways. We're going to have those conversations. So without any further ado, John, why don't you kick us off? Number one on our list here is getting clients with stories that speak to them. Why don't you give an example there that moves you?
Well, I think we touched on this in a couple episodes before December and our break. And I think you really put it in the top of your own personal skill list. And I think it's really important. It's finding messages and stories that really resonate with your target audience. If you're a real estate agent, it's finding niches. You know, if you're starting in the profession for the first few years, you normally have to take whatever client comes your way. But as you build your customer base and your recognition of your brand, your personal brand, you should be focusing on finding a niche of some type in your town, city, region, wherever you're practicing. And the quicker you do that, I think the more you're going to stand out and be more successful in a crowded industry. And I think the stories that the more you niche, the more your stories, the more the branding message that you target to the particular targeted audience will become more effective. And I think with your own agency, that's what you really concentrate on, isn't it, Robert?
It is indeed. And ladies and gentlemen, and John, the store, personal stories and personal messaging, I'm going to give you a great example, John, a one-of-a-kind example that we will never be able to repeat again, hopefully, if we're lucky. Right now in California, you and I started talking about this. We're having this cataclysmic series of fires, and they are cataclysmic. And I've already been thinking about doing a piece of content. I may very well use this video, John, this podcast as part of that, is that I have always believed strongly that every emergency, every cataclysmic situation, including the slowdown, it is an opportunity for a savvy salesperson to connect better with their prospect list. Okay, because when you're having extraordinary times, that is the time to have extraordinary conversations. And right now, if I was a real estate salesperson with a long list of people I'd done business with for over 10 years, and I was living in Southern California, I'd be calling all my clients, past, present, and future, and sending emails and saying, hey, can I help you with your insurance? Is there anything I can do to help you right now? And I would be having that very real conversation. And if they said yes, I kid everybody not on this, listening to this podcast, I would help every single one of those people resolve insurance issues. Because what's happened right now is 10,000 people have become unhomed. Probably the largest amount of people ever in California history simultaneously becoming unhomed at the same time. Some point, far in the future, these people will be looking for new homes. Okay. In the meantime, the person that gets in and helps them in the most trying time of their entire life will have a client for life. That's it. Full stop. If anybody is looking at this as anything other than opportunity to be of service to human beings, number one, and then being of service to their career, number two, they'd be crazy. I'd be calling and emailing people and saying, I can help in this way and this way and this way. Let me know if any of those things, like if you need me to do any of those things. And I'd be focused on the mechanics of, because these houses are completely lost. Their Pacific Palisades is 75%, 100% destroyed. That means that some of the wealthiest Californians in history are all without homes that they've had for 25, 30 years. If they're not looking for help right now, I'd be flummoxed. So like you get out there, you help some people. And then when it comes time a few years from now, you're going to have the best career of your life. Like for sure, being a good person and having good messaging. And by the way, at some point after the service is provided, their life is back on track and they have new homes and everybody's happy. Those stories that you create, dude, you'd only need one of those stories to make a good real estate career. Just one. And you probably have many. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Building a database of possible clients. Now, John, to do you also a personal favor, to return the favor. I feel like this has been one of your strengths. It's certainly been one of the nails that you've been hitting on the head. Like you've been talking about building databases since you and I have started podcasting. And if I can remember correctly, even the name of the podcast had something to do with you thinking about database marketing. And I may be wrong about that, but I do know that we have been talking since the very first conversation I've ever had with you about building databases, and you've studied Buffini and you've studied other people in the real estate world that use this almost exclusively as a primary marketing tool. So what are you thinking about database marketing in 2025?
Well, I think some things have changed in the real estate industry. It's only my perspective, Robert, but I do honestly feel it does depend on the target audience. I think phoning for leads is a dying proposition, in my opinion. I think to some extent, door knocking is also dying to some degree. But you could say with COVID-19 and people working much more from home, that I could be wrong about that. But I think a lot of people don't like people knocking on their doors. But if you're up for it and people answer, it probably could be effective. But I definitely think phone calling, because of the birth of mobile phones and people's the way they act, that's probably declining. But one area where I think the truth is still relevant, and it comes from the Red Book. It comes from the million-dollar real estate agent. I call it the Red Book. And it's all about building up databases. And I think, I still believe that when you look at the data that comes from the industry, that one area that's still prevalent is the terrible follow through that most agents don't do. And they don't build a list. They don't understand that there's different types of database lists, and you should use different content for those different lists, and how important, and there's different stages of the buying process or selling process, and keeping in content to some degree with possible customers is really important. And I'm sure you also, through your consultations, have to still explain all this at the beginning of 2025. So that's my thoughts about that, Robert.
Database marketing, for those of you who are listening to the show, listen, and I've been in sales for 50 years. It's always been part of the business, database marketing. And it is definitely a thing that's changed in modern times. In 2025, database marketing is probably about the same as it was in 2024. But the idea of a database has changed. We rely very heavily on free services that gather our information. And many of them provide, back in my day, we had tools like ACT and Goldmine and other tools that managed all your data for you in a program that you downloaded onto your computer. And now we can manage it through web applications, more commonly known as Instagram and Facebook. You can literally, much of your database management has moved into services that are managed by other people. Because if you have people join a Facebook page, or you have people join an Instagram channel, this is basically your database. Like, you can create a database out of that. Or you can go old school, which is what I just coached an artist friend of mine into recently, because they were doing a lot of shows, getting no sales, no activity whatsoever. And then I discovered they were collecting no information from anybody who was at the show. And I was flummoxed. I was like, why would you hold a show and not try to meet your customers and trade information with them? What's the point of having the show? Anyway, so that's what I would say to a real estate salesperson. Every time you're out is a chance for you to collect some information. Every time you have a good conversation with somebody, you make sure you get added to your Facebook page, your Instagram page, somewhere to keep continuously in touch and nurture them with your messaging. One way or the other, whether you do it the way that John and I do it through online marketing or drive people through paid traffic or however you get people, it is to trade information, to create connections and make sure that they stay in tune with what you're doing. That's the objective. It's changed a bit, in my opinion, but the idea has not. You must trade information in the age that we're in with anybody that you're in, that is theoretically interested in doing business with you. You must keep in touch with them. Database marketing, which is what we're talking about. All right. Build a secondary database of loyal clients that can refer to you. Explain this one to me, because I was a little bit confused by this.
Well, I think the kind of follow through, the way you keep in content in front to some degree of clientele that have already used your services and purchased a house or sold a house should be very different to the people that have come into your database that might be possible clients. It's the same morphology, but the outreach is very different, and the content that you're going to be supplying, where the people on the secondary list, your previous clients, people you've had some one-to-one discussion with, that should be more personalized. That should be more kind of sending out content that may be is more personalized for each one, because the kind of lead, if they do refer you, that is going to be a much stronger lead than somebody that's never done business with you, that is in your database and you're marketing to them, but they could be just a possible new client. And this is kind of, I'm probably boring, Roy, because this is kind of 101, but I just think a lot of people, they kind of send out the same content to both lists, but the reality is they're very different, aren't they?
They are very different. And I understand that, like what I perceive that this is filtered list, filtered database lists. And this is just you displaying your expertise inside database marketing. Database marketing, which is not something that I do at the very highest level and never really have. Because I always intrinsically I keep in touch with everybody in a strong enough way that my kind of, I always felt like your strong clients stand up and identify themselves. Now, there's another school of thought that says that your clients can be built into great clients. And that requires a lot more outreach than what I prefer to do personally. But anyway, let's move on. Number four. Actually, let's go to break. You want to go to break, John?
Yes.
Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're going to come right back. And when we do, we've got three more exciting subjects from when we return from break. Follow-up strategies, we're going to touch on those a little bit, building a brand, and talking a little bit about the combined strategies of online, like combining in-person and online. All right, that's it. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Do you want quality leads from homeowners and buyers right in your own neighborhood? Then you need MailRite. It is a powerful but easy to use online marketing system that uses Facebook to generate real estate leads at a fraction of the cost you'd pay from our competition. We stand behind our work with a no question asked 30-day money back guarantee. So don't delay. Get started today. Go to mail-write.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to episode number 457 of the MailRite Show. As promised, we're back with follow-up strategies, building a brand, and the combination of digital and in-person strategies. I've got a lot to say about the final one. So why don't you jump into with us these follow-up strategy that works? What works for you, John? How do you follow up with your prospective clients?
Well, it's quite simple. I do have a lead magnet on my WP Tonic web business. I haven't got a lead magnet on the MailRite. That will probably be something we will change. But I've been just working on getting some traffic to that website. Obviously, I have a lead magnet. And then with the WP Tonic, there's a free lead magnet which they can download. I get a few people a week do download that. And then what I do is then I send them an email that offers a course that shows them how to build. It's basically offers them a course that's quite extensive at half price, basically gives them a coupon code. And then if they take the course, if they transfer some money, it's only a small amount. With the coupon code, it's about $25. If they actually purchase that, then I pursue them because they're given a clear sign that they've opened their wallet. And so it's not a sophisticated process because I get about 20 of those people per month, that, and I get about 10 to 12 per month that actually buy the course. And it's done by one of the people that worked for me, and he did a really great job. And so the same things applies is that they come into a funnel, a digital funnel, and you need to offer some value, probably some form of download. And then they come in their funnel, and then they need to trigger something, and maybe you offer something of even more value. And then if they get that, you then need to pursue them through phoning them up. It gives a sign that this person needs more of your one-to-one personal time as a real estate agent to then maybe get them to become an actual real client of yours. So there's a process. And I don't know what conversations you have, but I think a lot of agents, they have no process, do they?
I think you are correct. I think there is very little process to a follow-up strategy that works. And our follow-up strategy has been collect data and send out valuable content, but it's generalized. It's not filtered, which is, we probably could do a lot better as an agency if we filtered the follow-up. But we're still so small, doing proper sales strategy into our database is crazy hard for us because it would involve me personally like reaching out to everybody. And honestly, while I would probably get a couple more sales, I'd probably lose some because of the way that psychology works with people, like making me this distant figure that you can only set an appointment with that never calls you and never follows up, adds to the mystique and thus makes sales calls easier for me, which is what I like for my sales strategy. But the real estate agent follow-up, having a follow-up strategy that works, in my opinion, is making sure that you personally participate in one valuable message per month. And then oftentimes, as John alluded to, depending on where you are in your career, and at the beginning of your career, you get that message out to people yourself. In the middle of your career, you probably have a service helper like somebody off Fiverr. And at the end of your career, you have an actual personal assistant. And those personal assistants get the message out. It gets easier and easier and easier to get your messaging out. Would you agree, John? Like as you establish yourself as a business owner?
Well, it should do. You should know what is working generally. Obviously, things change. It's a bit like my opinion. And I did quantify it. It just depends on the target audience. Generally, when it comes to phone calling, if you're dealing with audience that still have, I don't have a landline. Most of the people I deal with don't have a landline. If somebody calls me on my mobile and they're not on my contact list, I'm not picking it up. If they can't leave a voice message, they probably get deleted. If you're dealing with a lot of people that got a landline, and it tends to be older people, phoning might still work. But I think if you're in a sector that don't have landlines, that only have mobile, I think phoning for leads, I just don't see it working, but I could be wrong.
It can. I still have clients that do it. It is an ever diminishing effectiveness in terms of a strategy, but it does work. But stronger technical screening tools is a problem for outbound salespeople. It is. It is becoming. You're doing more calls for less of a result. Having said that, let's talk about building a personal local brand. We've talked about this. We've done entire podcasts on this one subject. So for those of you listening, this is going to be footnotes. And I advise that you go back into our catalog of shows because we have talked about brand a lot. You can go onto the MailRight channel, the MailRight website. You can, to a smaller degree, come onto my website, but I'll probably direct you to other content talking about building a local brand, not necessarily this podcast. And if you're listening to this podcast and like podcasts, you're going to want to access them through MailRight. So you go there and you look up brand or local brand, and you'll get so many great shows that we've done with the two of us and guests talking about brand. But having said all that, John, what is your top level branding comments about building a local brand?
Well, my observation in the industry is a lot of people aren't very good at it. But the successful agents or the successful micro brokerages, the the boutique brokerages, they do find a niche. They do successfully build a brand. And there's no one way of doing it because there's too many variables. So, but there are definitely, we've covered it quite a bit, you know, finding a particular niche, finding a particular group of clients that have a specific need that is a little bit different than the general market with enough volume that can get the results, the income that you're desiring or need, and then pitching. That's why you need a website. That's why you need your social media strategy. That's why you need to put videos up, all the things that we discussed during 2024 that we've spent the past 4 years talking about consistently, isn't it, Robert? And hopefully it hasn't just fallen on. But I think, you know, we've got a small audience, but I think they've stuck with us. The people say, but the majority of agents, you know, it can't be done overnight. And, you know, it is difficult when you're dealing with clients and the normal weekly ups and downs of being a real estate agent. It's really easy to put this on the back burner. But if you can be consistent and really understand why it's important, in the end, it will pay big dividends, I feel. What do you feel, Robert?
I think that building a brand, informational in nature, qualitative, in other words, you can, and I believe that most brands are qualitative. That just means that you can identify the quality of the brand that you're dealing with before you deal with them. And it's part of your brand, part of your messaging. I believe that strongly. That means that you're well-reviewed and that there are many people out there talking about using your product or service and giving many details about it. That's what I mean by a qualitative informational brand. And I think that plays directly into a local brand as well, which can also mean, again, it's qualitative and quantitative. It's you go out and you meet with people and you put that stuff up on your social media channel. And that allows people to understand how you engage with the world. And that's part of building a local brand. But I strongly believe that everything you said was correct. And I strongly believe that local branding, if anything, John, is becoming more and more important for real estate agents. It's more important in 2025 than it was in any other year. And it probably will continue to gain momentum that way. Specificity, separating yourself from the proliferation of agents that are jumping into AI tools and stuff that does not provide personal messaging of any kind, is you have a massive opportunity as an agent to set yourself apart by that, by doing personal things like this podcast. This is really me and John. We're not AI agents. We're having a real discussion.
Well, you might be real.
Okay, I speak for myself. Yeah. All right, we're going to go into bonus material, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be about 5 or 10 minutes, and today's bonus subject is going to be successfully combining person-to-person and digital online marketing. And John, if you don't mind, I'm going to jump into this one because I do have a lot of I have a lot of.
I just want to. About this. I just want to quickly say, I think it would be really interesting to hear what you say. But I think my observation, Rob, is a lot of agents that are really good on the one-to-one are really bad on the digital, and those that are really good on the digital tend not to be that great on the person to person. And the one that's going to be really successful in the next couple of years, in my opinion, are those that combine the two.
I agree with you. And here's some examples of the way that clients that I work with have combined the two, digital and in person. So number one, taking control of your time as a real estate agent and having a more fruitful career work-life balance is so incredibly relevant when it comes to having the conversation of how do you mix digital and in person. Because one of my top clients, his name is Brett Wallace, we've worked together. He's 5 times his income. And all of that's great, but you know what hits me personally the most, because I'm that kind of guy, is that he's also spending more time with his family, which doesn't make sense. Making five times as much, but spending more time at home and spending more time with his kids. How do you do that? Well, when you really focus carefully on using digital the right way, you can eliminate 80% of your driving as a real estate agent. That's number one. So how do you do that? You do all of your consults, all of your initial, you insist that everything with a client happens with a Zoom conversation first. Okay. You look at them, you say, before we get in our cars, before we meet, what are you looking for? You do all the qualification and you make sure that you should be getting in your car, number one. And then number two, you make sure that you have an understanding of what they want. Number three, you look at online pictures so that by the time you hit any property, it is a de facto thing that you know that they're interested in it. You've already done all the work online to get to a place where it's just making sure that it looks in person like it looked online. 80% of what we do now with Brett is digital, and he's not alone. Even in the category of $5, $10, $15, $25 million properties, my luxury clients are moving in the direction of, instead of having foreign investors fly into LA and spend a week like with this one foreign investor, which is a common thing in the luxury market, in the ultra luxury market, that's been common. That involves passports, travel, private airfare, a whole bunch of stuff. I now know luxury agents that are selling these properties almost sight unseen, or using agents like local representatives that walk in for these foreign investors. But most of the conversation is taking place digitally. That's selling the property. In terms of marketing properties, what you really want to do is you want to make sure that you're directing people to your online presence as much as possible. Every time, and the way that I have this conversation with my clients, the way I'm going to have it with you, John, look at your time as the resource, and you spend it much better than you spend your money. I'm terrible with money. I'm fantastic with my time. I am so good with my time. If I look at something and go, can I accomplish more digitally in terms of saving my time? Will I do it? With the single exception of establishing strong connections with people, that I still do personally. I still take my time personally to do that. But once the connection is established, the relationship is 100% maintained digitally. And usually I look at efficiencies. Like, I use Basecamp. The only reason I use Basecamp is because all members of my team are communicated to simultaneously on every single client issue affecting a project at all times. That just means that no individual emails or messages are going anywhere else. And I love that. It manages the account with 20 people touching it. It manages the account seamlessly. So we don't have a lot of emails going out to my team. And I love that efficiency of time. When you're looking at digital, ladies and gentlemen, ask yourself the question, can it replace normal marketing more efficiently? You and I talk about this incessantly. Video replaces door knocking. It should, because you can get in front of a lot more people with a lot less effort than knocking on doors physically. It's a great digital medium. Now, does that mean that you want to eliminate all personal contact? No. You just want to make sure that somebody has done all of their homework, and then you do a call. That's my thoughts, some thoughts on successfully combining person to person and digitally online marketing, at least the ones that I wanted to talk about today. How about you, John? What do you have to add?
Not really. I just think, you know, the people that are really good person to person really have a local network. They tend just to concentrate in that particular marketing way, and they tend not to want to invest time and money on the digital side. And the people I know that are into databases, that are the principal of a small boutique brokerage, they are the lead generator to a small team. There's a few that I've worked with. They tend to focus on either Facebook advertising or Google ads. It's paid placement. and with organic as well, some element of organic. But they really don't concentrate on building. It's all for paid traffic, basically. And they don't invest a lot of time on organic, and they don't invest any time on personal networking in their area. And I just feel combining the two is the best methodology. I haven't seen many that have come on my radar that really do both to the extent that they could.
Sure. And I agree with you. That's an interesting thing. You know, a lot of my ongoing clients for many years, John, is just they continue to get access to my calendar, like one call a year, which is what, cause I, like I said, I'm good with my time. And that one call a year, I get on and tell them to do a lot of the things that we're talking about, and tell them how to blend their business with digital and physical to, you know, all at once. And those efficiencies, like with Brett, he'll say he considers me his business coach, and I happen to do SEO, and he happens to get calls, and he happens to make some deals, but he also gets a lot of advice that he follows with me. And that advice that he's followed has yielded more revenue than the physical services I've provided. And so there is that small element. And that is another way to do personal and digital, because I provide that personal advice. I do Whiteboard Thursdays now, and that is all because of Brett. I just continue to provide business advice so that I don't have to do the individual calls to guys like Brett anymore. I just put it up on like a piece of content and direct my clients to it, because it is the same advice, as you well know from doing this podcast with me over and over again. We're just waiting for people to listen and do it and apply it. And then what I would love to see in the podcast world, which never happens, is I'd love for our clients to reach out to us and say, oh, I took that piece of advice and it shit the bed, Robert, or John, or I took that piece of advice and it was fantastic. It was game changing. But we all get that advice from our grandmothers or mothers or brothers or sisters or fathers that we know is correct, and we don't do it.
You should. We should. All right. To wrap it up, Rob.
Yeah. So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you'd like to reach out to John, how would you do that, sir?
I'll just go to the MailRite website, and you can book a free chat with me on the website. And that's a half hour, and that's totally free. Back over to you, Rob.
And if you'd like to reach out to me, you can email me at robert@inboundrem.com. You can go to my website, inboundrem.com, get all sorts of incredible, incredible, incredible lessons on real estate marketing, digital marketing for real estate. There is no cost to any of it. We occasionally ask you for your email, but we don't even always ask you that. So please go to that site if you're looking for some good, additional help other than this podcast with your marketing. It's a great resource. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in. This has been your first show of 2025 for the MailRite Show, and I'm so excited to be here. I'm so glad John is back, and thank you all for tuning in. I'm so grateful.